80% of businesses can be better secured with cybersecurity training. And so we do that just to kind of give a 5-minute lesson here or there to keep our clients educated on, hey, here's what the criminals are doing, here's what you should look out for. Because as you mentioned, you don't know what you don't know.
I'm Garrett Lale. Welcome to the Advisor Advocates Podcast, bringing the latest industry trends and best practices from leaders of the top firms in the financial services industry. Welcome to the Advisor Advocates Podcast. Nick Costa is the guest with me today. You are the co-founder of Soaring Towers. Is it just Soaring Towers? Is that the full name of the business? I know the website, SoaringTowers.com.
Yeah, just Soaring Towers.
Awesome. Well, quick little, and Nick doesn't know this story. First of all, this is not a paid endorsement, at least not yet. You sent me some information about the affiliate marketing program. Maybe I need to learn a little bit more about that before I say for sure that it's not a paid endorsement. But I will say this is an endorsement. So Nick and I met 2 weeks ago. You scheduled a call through my calendar. Now, I don't know if you knew this at the time, but a lot of vendors in the industry mistake me for being an RIA or being an advisor, because I have had an RIA before, and Wealth Partners is one of my brands. It was actually registered briefly as an RIA. So a lot of times I get these meetings, and it's usually people can find my calendar link pretty easily, and they like to schedule these sales calls and mask it as if it's they're interested in my services, right? And I think your description had said something like looking for information for our RIA clients. And I'm like, crap, this guy has scheduled a sales call at 5 o'clock on a Friday. I mean, I was a little mad, honestly. Like, I tried to not show it that much, but I was a little annoyed and like, let's just get this over with as quick as we can. But I mean, I try to be, you know, gracious, and I'll have a conversation. Well, it's ironic because for the call that I was trying to rush through as quick as I could, at 6:05, you finally cut in and said, I'm late for my next call. Can we go? So we had to kind of cut it short because I had a lot of questions. So I was very intrigued by your business, and I definitely see the value that you provide to the wealth management industry, but also see the challenge that you face in communicating that to the wealth management industry, because you do cybersecurity and I don't even want to call it tech support. Correct me if I'm wrong here. You're almost like an outsourced CTO, chief technology officer for financial planners. Is that fair?
Exactly. Couldn't put it better myself. Yeah. CTO, and then behind me is pretty much your whole IT department.
Yeah. So here's the rub. We don't know what we don't know. We don't know what we don't need. There's a line from a silly movie. I don't know. I almost hope you've never seen this movie, but it's called Fools Rush In. It is Matthew Perry and Selma Hayek back in like the late 90s, early 2000s. But he says to her, "You are everything I never knew I always wanted." And I kind of think of that line with you guys. You're sort of everything advisors don't know that they need, or never knew that they needed, or never knew they wanted. I was intrigued to have you on the show and kind of share what you do for advisors and for firms as well. And then try to help interpret as best I can sort of what does this mean for us and why do we need it? Because we definitely do. We just don't know that we need it.
Yeah, that was great. It's a great quote. I could not have put that better myself. As you mentioned, we're an outsourced IT department, and we do cybersecurity, and our big focus now is AI implementation. We were doing AI implementation before it was cool. So this was about 3-4 years ago. We kind of saw that as the forefront of something that'll help small businesses and small advisors be bigger than they actually are, be able to work more, compete with the bigger players. But you're exactly correct. A lot of the advisors we talk to don't know what they don't know. They don't know about the cutting edge tools. They don't know what's in compliance, what's out of compliance, and really what they can do and what's available to them. So from like a marketing standpoint, it's really hard to be like, hey, we know you don't know these things. We know some of these things and we can help you out. So kind of finding that bridge of how to help advisors understand that, hey, you don't have to be doing stuff the same way you've been doing for the last 10 years. There are these amazing tools now being built in the space that are compliant, It'll save you time, save your back office time, and just do a better customer experience overall. Because really, we're all in the game of having a great client experience. It's why your clients work with our advisor clients. They know that, hey, if you're able to work with your client and have a great experience, they're going to refer you, you're going to get more business, and then also everyone's going to be happy. So just elevating those experiences is kind of the name of the game for us.
Yeah, technology is something. I remember saying when I was in college, okay, so this has been a minute, but even when I was in college, I said technology breeds technology. And you could see this exponential explosion already starting to happen around the time the iPhone started to come out. Yeah. I mean, this is the birth of social media and smartphones, basically, is the era I'm talking about. And it's really cool to see the explosion in technology that's happened, but it's almost happened so fast that we can't keep up with it. If we're not, I mean, financial advisors, wealth managers, you know, wealth management firms, we have a job. That job has nothing to do. I mean, we keep up with technology as one of the sectors, basically, of the economy. But that's really the extent that we have to keep up with technology. Our job is finance and personal finance. So keeping up with technology nowadays is a full-time job. By the time I did a podcast with a chief marketing officer a few weeks ago, and I made the comment, or he made the comment, that as soon as I learn how to do a Facebook ad or a Google ad or whatever, I'll spend hours figuring out how to do this, and then the next time I go back, I'm excited because I created the template last time and I can just use it again, except they've changed the format and now I can't do it. That's just one example of it, because as soon as you learn this AI tool, a new and better one comes out, and as soon as you learn all of AI, something better than AI comes out. I mean, there's just always another element to it. And what, I guess this is an overly simple question, but what are your boundaries? What's out of bounds in your world with technology? Where do you not go? What do you not help with? Or is there anything? Because you kind of sound to me like a jack of every trade. If it has to do with tech, you and your team can figure it out.
Yes. There is... We look at technology as a tool. And technology, really, in my opinion, every business now is a technology business. Every business has their own proprietary data, whether it's their clients, their contacts, their personal connections that are stored somewhere. And you have your service delivery, which now pretty much is built on top of software. So that, like you said, we end up touching pretty much every area of the business to help with and kind of build the processes first. And I want to touch on that process first mindset. You mentioned there's always new tools coming out. I have an entire team. We have cybersecurity analysts, we have engineers. They all have different roles of trying to stay up to date on their specific technology. Them, as well as myself, are all as well floored with the advancements in AI and all these different tools, where it's even hard for us to keep up. And we are doing this on a day-to-day basis of finding out what's new, seeing what's out there, seeing what's changing. And our philosophy that we've looked at is building that foundation of the business with technology. And what I mean by that is, yes, we can help you with every single aspect of technology in your business, and we want to look at where you want to take the business. And what I mean by that is, some advisors are really happy with a small team and they want to just stay lean, stay scrappy, and be able to just really be personable with their clients and know exactly who it is. We have other advisors that we work with that they're on, hey, we want to build a team, we want a growth, we want structure, we want scalability, that's what we want. Those two companies are going to have dramatically different processes, software, and just overall business goals and planning. And so it doesn't really make sense to like apply one solution to them so that it's kind of a standard. Oh, this is what you should do because you are an RIA. You're this big, this is what you should do. It depends on what the business wants to do. We work with some advisors that are using software that is much larger than really what they need, but they're growing quickly and they want to continue to push that growth. So we don't necessarily stop on a specific piece of software, a specific area of the business. We're saying, hey, we're not going to touch that. But we may bring in people to say like, hey, we don't know marketing per se. We know here's the software that'll work for marketing, but we think if you want to hit these goals, you need to have a system and probably a CMO or something like that, a fractional CMO that comes in, helps you guys build the processes, and then we'll tell you the best software to do based on that growth. So it's a lot of collaborative nature now with software and technology that we look at the entirety of the business, the entirety of the software that are being used, and make sure that the software map with the business and the goals, and also make sure they have the right team in place to do that, because we're fortunate that IT is a little intimate. What it is, you give us your passwords, your data, and so we have these great relationships with our clients, and that has allowed us to kind of see, hey, one advisor is doing this, they're a similar size to you guys, how about we have you guys meet and say, hey, maybe there's a symbiotic relationship there, and that kind of helps.
Every individual, every organization, every business has sort of like a needs list versus a wants list, right? We have to have, I get emails all the time from cybersecurity companies that are, you know, is your data safe? Is your data, and for the most part, I dismiss it because it's like, I don't know, and I don't really care. I don't work with private or with highly sensitive information anymore. I'm not working with clients. I don't have personal financial records. I don't care if somebody hacks my, now for the people out there who do share confidential information with me, I don't want to freak them out. But I'm not a big security threat, right? I'm not really worried about that. But for financial advisors, that's a big thing. Compliance is certainly on our have-to-have list. We have to make sure we're covering those things. We have to make sure that whatever we're doing from a cybersecurity standpoint, we're at least checking the minimum standards from a compliance standpoint. So that's on the food, water, and oxygen list of our business. We have to have those things. But then for me personally, when I look at your business and my experience with this in the past, and we touched on this a little bit on the call we had a couple weeks ago, there's a lot of really cool, shiny wants that I have out there that I haven't really bothered looking into that much because I assume that they're 5 or 6 figure projects to hire somebody to build these things out. I'm working on one of them right now that, I mean, so far I've got $100 invested in this thing and I'm maybe 50% of the way done, I hope. And it's like there are so many cost-effective ways to execute some of these really complex-sounding things that I could see the wants that they didn't know that they could have as being a really good entry point for you, for some advisors and firms, or a key part of what you do on a service standpoint to deepen and broaden those relationships. But do you tend to start with the wants and then do the needs kind of as part of that process, or do you start with the needs and then surprise the client, for lack of a better word, with how many of the wants you can deliver?
So it's a combination of both. You mentioned compliance. It's everyone's favorite word. I have not met an advisor that really wants to be compliant.
No, I was saying, I don't know if it's anybody's favorite word. We all know it.
and that's the big thing. Everyone knows they should be compliant and that they need to do these things, but it's a lot of jargon, it's a lot of paperwork, it's a lot of stuff that at the end of the day, they're like, hey, I'm pretty secure. I'm not going to necessarily go overboard and all this stuff. I don't want to meet with 15 vendors to like identify the security and all this stuff. And so security is a baseline in our organization. We have you sign on as a client with us, and we pretty much say, hey, look, we're giving you a baseline that is going to make you compliant with like 95%+ of all of the different compliance frameworks. And we do that because we're like, look, if there's a specific one you want to abide by, you need to abide by, we'll just tweak one or two things and get you good to go. But you don't have to think about it. It just gets handled, and we tell you, hey, here is the one or two things you need to do on your end of like policy standpoint and stuff like that. So that's kind of a base. And we have a system that we've built. It's a proprietary framework called STEP, the Soaring Towers Efficiency Pathway.
Isn't that convenient?
Yeah, we love our acronyms over here. What that pretty much means is we secure the business. That's what that S means, is we're securing the business, giving it a nice baseline. That'll ensure you're good with compliance, ensure that your data is secure, ensure that the team is aware of what security is, and kind of educate our clients on what they need to do to stay secure. because an amazing statistic is that 80% of businesses can be better secured with cybersecurity training. And so we do that just to kind of give a 5-minute lesson here or there to keep our clients educated on, hey, here's what the criminals are doing. Here's what you should look out for. Because as you mentioned, you don't know what you don't know. And we want to implement all these wants, but we don't want then to some small issue to crop up, like a security issue, whatever that may be, and then it gets rid of all the fun want stuff that we were trying to implement and doing there. So we do that first, but then we go through the rest of the pathway to take a look at each aspect of the business. Like, okay, what do you want? Well, we want to double our revenue this year. So that's amazing. What are you doing from a process standpoint in order to do that? Well, we just hired a new sales rep. We hired a new marketing team. We are bringing on a fractional CMO. Great. How do all these teams work together? How you as the business owner or the principal, how are you kept in the loop of all this stuff? Well, I think I get a report from the market, from the CMO. We meet. I get a report from the marketing company to do all that. Okay, but how do they know what everyone's working on? And we kind of break down the business process, say, okay, there's some disconnect from even just that sales and marketing team for acquiring new clients. How about we implement a software for you that'll help you get to that growth level and then kind of augment it, where we're going to put some AI into there. We're going to help you say, okay, if you're going to be producing content with this marketing team, we want to have the CMO of all the information as well as the business owner, the principal, also having all that information and reporting, as well as letting the other team feed it information. So we'll take a look at the foundation of each department, each team, and then see what software is there, because we want to put the right software in place to match the processes and also match kind of the business goals for that thing. So it's a little bit of a combination. We want to satisfy the needs that no one really wants to deal with, security, computer updates, you name it, so that they can continue to work and there's not going to be issues, but then focus on doing these large changes right after that to really give them the biggest benefit.
So one of the things you mentioned as I'm kind of a head-on kind of guy, so you told me that this was one of the objections that you face sometimes, so I'm going to go ahead and ask you the hard question so you get a chance to address it in front of, you know, God and everybody kind of thing. So you mentioned one of the struggles is, you touched on it a minute ago, IT is, I love the way you said it, it's an intimate experience, right? You're having to give up a lot of important information to the people that you're trusting to take care of protecting this stuff, right?
Yeah.
Frankly, who is Soaring Towers and why do I trust you is a question that I get it. Like, I understand, because nowadays, and advisors are not, and I don't mean to stereotype advisors. There are some really, really tech savvy advisors out there, and there are some that have a hard time figuring out how to log into their email address, right, or email accounts. But by and large, I would say it's fair to say that we're savvy enough about technology to know that we can, that there's a lot of big risks out there. And we're also probably savvy enough to understand that, you know what, nowadays I can pop up a new website. Literally, the first website that I ever started, I mean, it took me a month of research to figure out who to hire, whatever. Now I own more domains and more websites. I've got more websites that I don't even use than most people ever start in their life, right? It's not that hard for me to pop up a new website. You can make yourself look as big and grand and whatever as you want, and especially if you're tech savvy, which you should be, then you can probably even figure out a way to fool Google into thinking you're legitimate. So how do advisors know? I mean, I guess I almost say it two different ways. How do we know we can trust Soaring Towers? But at the same time, for advisors, we can tell clients go to broker check. That's how you can say that we're licensed, we're credentialed, if we've had complaints in the past, whatever, right? We've got an avenue to legitimize us. So, you know, just kind of hand you the mic there. Prove yourself. How do we know if we can trust Soaring Towers? What's your rep?
Yeah, I wish broker check existed in my industry.
I bet, yeah.
It would make things
we a do lot too. Easier. We definitely wish it existed in
tech. Yeah, because there are, like you said, there's so many people that will sell you the world. I feel like it's much more common now with a fancy website and they'll say, hey, we can do all this stuff and do that. Even bigger companies. We've unfortunately acquired clients that have been with much, much larger firms that just weren't getting the love and the accurate needs that they needed. They weren't having a proper compliance apply to them, and so they were actually out of compliance. And so that kind of is where we differ a lot. We've been fortunate to work with a lot of different companies in a lot of different industries. We've worked with some really prominent people, sports teams, and even small financial institutions like large banks, but on the smaller side. But we've devoted ourselves to wealth planners, RIAs. And that's because a personal love of mine and my business partner has a long history in the financial services space. We both love wealth planning and the wealth planning industry, and we think that it's essential, especially nowadays with TikTok, Instagram, and Facebook giving perfect financial advice that definitely is not going to affect anyone. I think it's needed more than ever of having financial advisors. So we have over 5 years of experience working with financial planners, and specifically know their industry. We also built and have continued to develop our own compliance software that we give to all of our clients just for free. And it says, hey, here is the compliance framework you guys need to be abide by. We're covering all the tech stuff for you. Don't even think about the tech stuff, but you guys have to do this policy. And this is something that, Garrett, I haven't even mentioned this to you, but if anyone reaches out to us saying, hey, I watched this podcast episode, we'll give you a trial version of the software at no charge just to see where you are at your compliance level and give you all the checklists that you need to see to take a look at your existing IT team. Take a look at what you're currently doing and see, hey, are we hitting all the check boxes? Are we doing everything we need to? Because we are not here to tell you we are the best. We just want to give everyone information of how to implement cutting-edge solutions into their business and how to secure their business. At the end of the day, that's all we want to do. Whether it's with us or with someone else, that's up to you. We just want to give you that initial blueprint of saying, look, here's everything that we think you should do. You can obviously disagree with us. It's your business, not us. But here's what we recommend. You want us to implement it? Here's how much it's going to cost. Here's how long it's going to take. Here's why we're going to do it. If you want to take this and go to someone else and say, hey, look, here's what we got from someone. Can you do all this? And they'll do it cheaper, more expensive. Go with them. That's fine. We really just want to give people the direction because, as you said, Garrett, so many of the advisors we work with have no idea what's even out there. So having this plan is so helpful for them, and we're happy just to give people that plan. And we do it all the time. We'll jump into meetings with advisors and say, let's spend an hour, talk about your business. Here's a rough plan. And at the end of it, they'll have a rough plan to execute either internally or with us.
I want to give you a minute to outline your service model a little bit and talk a little bit about who are the typical clients that you work with, I guess, because it can be, even for listeners, sometimes it can be confusing. I mean, you can fall into the camp of, well, I'm too big to need something like that, or you can fall into the camp of, oh, I'm not big enough to afford something like that. So sometimes it's good to spend a little bit of time, you know, kind of, and I just always like to give my guests a chance to kind of pitch, you know, at the end of it. But outline your service model. And I'm not trying to, like, hold you to the fire on it, but as I recall, you don't have to get into, I mean, I think your pricing is on the website. I don't think it's anything you're hiding from, but you could be as transparent as you like or as detailed as you like. But from what the reason that I'm teeing it up is I seem to remember from our conversation that you're much more affordable than I would have maybe expected it to be. And so I want to give you a chance to kind of outline that a little bit without, you know, holding you to quotes or anything like that either.
Yeah.
Every client's obviously not going to be the same. You know what I mean? Like, I know some of you need a lot more than others, right?
Definitely. And the thing, we price it a little bit different. So we price per employee with unlimited support. And as you mentioned, this scales really well for bigger companies, obviously have more needs and thus more employees. And so our price reflects that as you grow, you add each employee, you know, hey, there's going to be X amount. Right now, it's below $200 a user. So if you're a five-person firm, it's about $1,000 a month. That'll cover all your compliance, cover all your IT questions, cover backups, you name it. Pretty much everything you would need if you've ever gotten pitched by a cybersecurity company or an IT company. It's like, oh, well, you need the firewall. You need the backups. You know that? We just say, hey, we're just going to cover everything A to Z for you. Don't worry about it. Just everything is done that you would pretty much ever need to secure your business. And you have our team available to you whenever you have questions. Hey, my computer doesn't work, X, Y, and Z, so on and so forth. And then we do strategic sessions based on your business size. So by default, pretty much everyone gets four. Larger businesses, we do more strategic sessions. And these are, as you mentioned, a fractional CTO, like a CTO light meeting where we're meeting with them, discussing the business, discussing their business plans. And then we are coming as the tech team saying, well, how can we get you there? What's the software that's needed? What needs to connect to what so that you guys are more efficient? And that's where we have those meetings. And that's kind of all included in our plan. And it pretty much helps our clients not have to worry about rapid IT changes. We even have a hardware as a service model, which we have some clients go. So they know they get on a new employee, they get a new laptop, everything covered with them, and they know, hey, when I hire on a new employee, just as you would your insurance is when you get new employees, you just know, hey, you're tacking this on. So it's almost like, hey, instead of having a workman's comp, you now have cybersecurity comp. Same thing, except you get all the bells and whistles with it. So we try to be cost effective for smaller firms because I like working with growing companies like that. But we've also worked with, as I mentioned, we've worked with baseball teams. The Los Angeles Dodgers called us in to do some work with them. We've worked with companies that have 300 employees and that are still active clients. We manage everything for them. We also have firms as small as one-person advisor firms that just started and that are growing and that we're really fortunate to be in those kind of first phases and seeing them go from one to two, two to four, and I think they're now at six in a very short amount of time. So we love working with businesses of all sizes, but our kind of our sweet spot's about that 10 to 20 person firm that's growing because we can really come in and help accelerate that growth.
I try to be, again, open and honest and candid about this. I mean, I do tend to give a little bit of an endorsement towards the end of my shows, and yeah, it could sound like I'm doing that to fluff these people up, but at the same time, frankly, I believe in, I don't bring somebody on here if I don't believe in what they're selling. If I can't give an endorsement, then I can find somebody else to come on a podcast with me, right? And in full disclosure, I met Nick by Zoom 2 weeks ago, okay? So I'm getting to know Nick as well. I'm not going to sit here and tell you we go back 20 years. But I will say this, from our conversation a couple weeks ago, I was very impressed with your knowledge of the wealth management industry. You and I were speaking the same language in terms of just knowing the lingo and knowing, you know, when you just mentioned Orion there, every listener to this podcast is going to know who Orion is, what they do. That's you obviously know you know the circle you're running in very well. So your knowledge of the industry seems to back up your claim, I guess. And that's for whatever step I can take to legitimize your business by saying that I believe you do at least know your way around the wealth management space. That's pretty obvious from the conversation we've had. But I'll also say this. I mean, you complimented me a little bit on our call and said, you know, you're a lot more tech savvy than you give yourself credit for. I'm not tech savvy at all. There's no bone in my body that would claim to be tech savvy. But over about the last 7 years or so, I'm kind of one of these people that I just dig into something. I'll see something, I'll say, can it be done? And I'll start researching, and I'll keep digging and keep digging and keep digging until I figure out it can be done or it can't. And if it can, I try to do it. All that to say, I have spent hours and hours and hours trying to figure out technology. I've probably got 8 or 10 hours invested in this one project that you probably could have done 30 minutes, right? So for me, just knowing most technology is actually pretty easy to execute once you learn how to execute it, but it takes a really long time to figure out how to execute it. That's what I struggle with, is that I'll spend 10 hours figuring out, oh, it was this button, and it took me 30 seconds if I would have just known to do that, but it took me that long to learn it. So if you don't want to be like, I have been for the last 8 years and run around and chase your tail and spend all this time trying to figure out how to keep up with your competitors. Nick and his team are, I believe, a very, very cost-effective way to leverage. You just create a lot of leverage, I would imagine, from a time standpoint, from a, just because of what you can do in the small amount of money that you're charging for your firm. So I would highly, highly encourage those listeners, firms, advisors, anyone, if you're in a position where you just have questions about technology, it's not necessarily that Nick has to take over every single thing end to end. It can be, this one project that I'm working on might be something that you and I need to have a chat about, because it's probably worth, what you charge. So, I don't know, just that's the, maybe one of the most sincere endorsements I've ever given, because you are exactly the type of person that I needed to meet about 8 years ago. I wish I'd known you at that time, but, how can, listeners, watchers of the show, viewers, that's great English, Garrett. Well, how can listeners or viewers of the show reach out to you and learn more about you if you are, if they are interested in having a conversation?
Yeah, our website, you can go to soaringtowers.com, SOARINGTOWERS.com. And you can see a lot of stuff that Garrett mentioned. We pride ourselves on being very transparent. If you go to our website right now, you'll see a up-to-date counter of our response time. If you click on it, we'll update to every single ticket in the last 2 weeks of how fast we responded to them. We're transparent. If that goes up or down, you'll see it, as well as you can reach out there for any questions.
Awesome, Nick. Well, man, I appreciate you hijacking my calendar a couple of weeks ago and reaching out. I've really enjoyed the conversation today and the conversation we had last time as well. And let's maybe do this again sometime, man. I really enjoyed this, and I venture a guess that we didn't cover every single thing that you could talk about today. So maybe we'll do it again sometime if you're ever up for it.
Sounds great. Awesome. As always, so much,
yeah, you bet. And as always, my contact information is below, and it'll be in the ending that's coming up at the end of this. But feel free to reach out to me by email if you have questions, or if you'd like me to introduce you to Nick or any of the other guests we've had on the show. Happy to do that if I can. And hope you have a great rest of your day, Nick. Appreciate it, man.
You as well. Bye-bye.
Thank you for watching or listening to the Advisor Advocates podcast. Really appreciate it. If I can't help you in any way, please feel free to give me a call at 919-561-2436 or send me an email at garrett@theadvisoradvocates.com or feel free to use my calendar link, which will be listed in the description below. Thanks again for your time. See you next time.